B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, once again from the Town Fair Tire Studio. Here 98.5, a sports of simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. Presenting sponsor, DraftKings. It is Felger and Mass. But no Felger and Mass today. Instead, it's Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Matt McCarthy, and you at 617-779-0985 on an agenda-free Friday driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. They just want you to get the car you want with exceptional service. That's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. You know, typically when Mike is here to start the 5 o'clock hour, the final hour of Agenda-Free Friday, we'll do another quick around the room before we go back to the calls. Anyone have anything top of mind, another take you want to spit out before we go back to the calls?
I'll just spit out one more take. The Aaron Rodgers thing has become interesting. Supposedly players can opt out still.
Yeah, you sent me this story this morning. I heard TNR talking about this as well.
And Aaron Rodgers can opt out this year and somehow avoid losing $20 million. And last year it was like, all right, if a guy opted out, you're like, all right, great, I get it, I understand. This guy can literally opt out of spite. And I have a feeling he's going to do it. I actually think this guy might do it this year. And I think he could take a year off and end up somewhere else, or he's doing it again with the Packers. But I just thought it was interesting that story came out today. They've been using Jordan Love. They've signed four other quarterbacks at this point. But just looking ahead a little bit here, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't a part of football this year, do you think the league would suffer at all?
Yeah, oh, it's bad for the league. I mean, he's one of the marquee stars. You know, I brought this up before. I forget exactly what games, because I remember looking, this was around when schedule day happened, and I brought it up to Mike. Like, I asked him, like, did you take a look at some of these marquee games on their schedule? One was against Kansas City. The other one, I think, was against Seattle. There was another one in there, too. It might have been a divisional game. They all weren't primetime games. It's like the league already knew and was setting themselves up for the fact that Aaron Rodgers was going to be coming back. I've resigned myself to this for a while now, Joe. He's not coming back. He's that petty.
Yeah, you're right. Look at the schedule. They get the Rams. They're at home against the Rams. They do play the Ravens at some point. They play the Browns.
There's certain games on that schedule you look at, you're like, how is that not at 8:20 on a Thursday night
Christmas
or a Monday night?
Yeah. Browns, Packers. Wow, 4:30.
So, okay, all right. Well, at least that one's a marquee game. But, you know, like, I think this would hurt his legacy. I already look at him as a massive underachiever,
yeah,
given
agreed.
That he's been maybe the most talented
yeah.
quarterback in the league over the last, you know, 15 or so years. But he's underachieved massively.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And by the way, Jim, I would have to imagine that you'd be all for him, you know, being petty and, you know, opting out and getting his way out of Green Bay. You know, the man who once left a tuna salad sandwich and the drop ceiling of a studio. I have to imagine you're all for this.
In most cases, yes. This one just seems stupid. Like, he's got some sort of issue that I and others can't figure out. I don't know what it is with this guy. Like, everything is a personal slight, and maybe that's what motivates him. And so, like, these kind of things certainly motivate Brady. Like, everyone that talks, you know, he is still mad about the fact that Drew Henson was ahead of him at Michigan. Those things, like, fuel the fire. But what's happened there, because they drafted Jordan Love, like, at some point, like, dude, get over it. You should be motivated by that. It worked for Brady when they drafted Garoppolo. Like, at some point you go too far, and I think that Aaron Rodgers has gone too far. Like, oh, wow, you're upset. And on the Packers, too, like, he is that important. Like, I don't know. It feels to me like they haven't even talked. And if he's that butthurt about it, like, they got to bend over backwards to appease the quarterback, because you saw what happened with Brady. You don't want this guy going somewhere else and winning a championship with another team. You just do whatever it takes to make him happy. Yes, he's gone too far. Yes. But ultimately, I think the Packers have played a big part in this, too.
Who the hell are you? Seriously, you come in today, you're rooting for the Habs, and now the Jim Murray that I've always known, who loves pettiness above all else, you come in and say, no, this is too petty for me. What the hell happened?
It's just bad business, Matt. At some point, God.
I mean, we might as well just throw in Dustin Pedroia while we're at it, right? I mean, he's getting honored tonight over at Fenway Park. Is, you know, we put the number up there at some point, Jim? Is this a guy you get behind now?
Yeah. Retire the number, put it up at Fenway. I don't think a Hall of Famer. I don't think he should be in Cooperstown.
No, he's borderline. I mean, he was the best second baseman in baseball for a few years, you know, not really for too long. Here's the thing with Pedroia. I almost feel like Pedroia became like the Tuukka Rask of the Red Sox over the last few years here, where you either love the guy or you hated the guy.
I don't think it was that bad with like how it is with Tuukka, though.
No, it's not the way it is with Tuukka, but I'm saying, and we're going to cross sports here because Felger's away. We're going to cross sports here. But I think it got to the point with Pedroia where he became a polarizing person because of the things he said, the way he carried himself. None of that was very good, and the fact that he couldn't play. This guy was a really, really good player. I don't think he was ever as good as the people who truly loved Pedroia thought he was. I don't think he was as lousy and was as a detriment to the team as the people who really grew to dislike Pedroia. He was somewhere in between. He was a very, very good ball player and was the engine of a lot of really good Red Sox teams. I would not put the number on the facade. I would not
really?
Put him in Cooperstown. No, and here's why. I'm old school. We will have the Wade Boggs removal ceremony. I'm taking numbers down. There are too many numbers up there. I'm not putting Dustin Pedroia. Yeah, no, they've kind of gotten that way. How many numbers has this ownership group retired? A lot. They've retired too many. They've retired more than existed before I think they even took the franchise over. So that's just how I feel about it. I feel like, you know, unless it's Johnny Pesky, who's, you know, worked for the team for 70 years, you got to be in Cooperstown to get your number retired. I don't think Pedroia is getting there. He's borderline. He might be a veterans committee.
Who's a better second baseman than him at the time?
For a few years, he was the best second
baseman.
But Cano
is completely fallen off now.
Well, yeah, Cano is a product of steroids. I always felt
better?
He was a better player than Cano. He was the best second baseman in baseball for a few year stretch. There's no doubt about it. And if you want to say if that 3 or 4 year stretch is enough to put him in Cooperstown, sure, I can understand where you're coming from. If he had stayed healthy, maybe he'd be a Hall of Famer. He was a really good player. I mean, he hit 300. He hit 299 for his career, which I still care about. I like that. He's probably the greatest second baseman in the history of the organization. We can do that debate on hardcore baseball. Bobby Doerr versus Dustin Pedroia. Very, very good player. I just wouldn't retire.
I'm just surprised because he was such a part of like the engine of 07 and 13 and that you wouldn't at least retire the number.
It's just how I feel philosophically. Yeah. And I'm not knocking Pedroia because, I mean, he made those teams go. He was the engine of a lot of really good Red Sox teams. Like 2010, they don't make the playoffs because he got hurt. I mean, he was so important to that franchise, and he was such a great player. Really, from 07 to 13, he was phenomenal.
Can I just give you the name? Chase Utley, Ian Kinsler, Brandon Phillips,
yep.
Robinson Cano.
He's better than all those guys.
He's better than every one of them.
Yeah.
And so, ultimately, Joe, are you in? Do you have him in the Hall? You retire the number?
Oh man,
I'm
not a Pedroia guy, but I will absolutely agree with Matt McCarthy. He was the engine when they were right. He was the guy at the top.
Yep.
He helped lead those teams, and how many championships in overall? I mean, I think
two.
He has
three rings, but he was a part of two.
I mean, ultimately, the worst thing that ever happened to that guy's career outside of the injuries was that whole thing that happened with the Orioles.
Yes.
Them, not me. You know, remember that thing?
And then Eck, let's not mention he was a part of that, too.
He was a clapper, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so, the attitude, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
As it should have.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Towards the end, it was like, all right, like, just shut your yap. But overall, like, you had to drag the guy off the field. He gave you everything that he had. Like, I respect that and always will, no matter what sport we're talking about. And I'm surprised. Shame on you, Matt McCarthy. You wouldn't retire Dustin Pedroia's number.
I would not. But it's nothing against Pedroia personally. It's how I feel about number retirements there, Jim. Number retirement. If he ends up in Cooperstown, put the number there.
Would you rather him be in Cooperstown? Or the number retired?
Well, again, it goes with both. If he ends up in Cooperstown, you put the number
there. Well, it doesn't have to happen.
I mean, if he gets into Cooperstown, I got to think about Pedroia for a while because second base to me is the most difficult position to judge when it comes to the Hall.
I was going to say, it's like bass in a band, right? Just another guy?
I mean, there are something like 19 second basemen in, I looked this up, there are like 19 second basemen in Cooperstown, and I think Pedroia, offensively, he's somewhere between like 11th and 13th. Like that's where he'd rank. Like
interesting
on certain stat, like batting average, stuff like that. It's an interesting case. It's going to take a while to debate that one.
Kevin,
as of right now,
should have won the MVP in 08.
I agree. Euclid was as much of a driver of those teams as Pedroia was too.
You know who the perfect comp is for Pedroia? Is Edelman. He's excellent, you know, and an awesome performer and gave you everything that he had, and he had to be dragged off the field, and he was a good postseason performer.
No.
Really, really good, but not ultimately a Hall of Famer.
Look at Pedroia's postseason stats, though. They were outstanding in 07, the rest of his career, even in 13. Not so great. Not so great. Look him up.
Who did he beat out where he had to transfer schools?
He was at Arizona State.
Yeah, who was it, though?
I forgot.
Kinsler.
Kinsler, that's who it was. Him and Ian Kinsler are always compared. Yeah.
All right, well, we're just throwing out random takes, too. Something I co-signed with Joe Murray, because I've heard him on the Joe Show, Where Anything Goes. He is correct in saying the right way to get a lobster roll, people, is Connecticut style with butter. That's how you get a lobster roll. That's no knock on mayo. I like it with mayo. No celery. Mayo, maybe a little dill, but the right way to get a lobster roll, now that it's lobster roll season, is buttered. So I co-signed Joe.
Hot buttered.
That's the way to do it. Let's quickly go to, we got full phone lines here. Someone drops off. You can get on an agenda-free Friday. It'll be calls the rest of the way. Greg in New York with a Patriots thought. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. You were talking about underachieving quarterbacks. And, like, why is that guy still on this team? I want to ask you the question because Belichick seems to be hell-bent on proving that he's the reason for the success of the Patriots. So he's going so far to bring in a pile of garbage like this to play. I mean, it's amazing to me, the ego, and he's such an unlikable guy. I've been a Patriots fan since 1976. I can't get behind this anymore. It's asinine.
I'm going to disagree there. I do think that he's a likable guy. I thought he proved to be a good teammate last year. I think a lot of guys rally around him. I just think he's washed up as a football player. Like, I like Cam Newton, the dude, snappy dresser, all that. Might be a good talk show host. I would recommend checking out that Sip and Smoke on YouTube. It's very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Watch the one with the guy who owns Magic City down in Atlanta. That's the best one. But he sucks as a football player now, so yes, I want him gone. And I do agree with the caller, though, Joe, is that it does feel like Belichick is trying to prove a point with him.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to dying on a hill with a guy who's probably already dead. I mean, but listen, I do think that he deserved the opportunity to come back, and we'll see what happens. Is he going to play in preseason games? Like, I'm starting to look ahead a little bit now. I mean, August 12th is the first preseason game. So, like, I'm curious, like, how they're going to split up the snaps when it comes to that. But if he doesn't look good and Mac looks good, I don't think he's going to stick around. And that's going to be where is the owner going to stick in and be like, let's go with the kid.
All right, more of your calls coming up on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports. Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Très haut, la rondelle s'est retrouvée. Ce sera Gallagher. Gallagher avance. La passe est pour Dano qui veut se refiler. C'est complété, le tir.
Coupe de Stanley. Yes, going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1993, the Montreal Canadiens. It's a one-off, people. I'm only rooting for them this one time because it's a good story. The team is a mix of veterans, very exciting youth, and a goaltender who actually is carrying a middling team to the Stanley Cup Final, you know, unlike yours. So I enjoy the story, and I was never really truly bothered by the Montreal Canadiens as much as many of you people. But I got Matt McCarthy over here. It's Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Matt McCarthy, and for Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday, trying to shame me, acting like one of the gay toughs from Seinfeld.
That's right.
Yeah. You must wear the ribbon. You must That's not right. Root for Montreal. You must not. Shame on you. Shame, shame. Kick him out of the city. Yes. Yeah, go back to Atlanta. Like,
should enjoy it. Connecticut, too, even worse.
Yeah, I don't buy into all the things that you people are provincial about. Like, I can still be a Bruins fan. No, we're taking your Bruins fan card. We're taking your sports fan card. Get out of the city. You're not. I'll do what I want. I'll root what I want. My allegiance is to me and mine.
I'll walk in there and take that out of your hand and rip it in front of your face, your sports card.
There's no such thing. At least Joe gets it. Joe Murray gets it. It's a fun team. It's a good story.
The last team to get into the playoffs this year was Montreal. And again, whatever that crazy GM that they have with his suit and whatever they got
Mark
going
Bergevin.
On. All right. He has made some incredible moves, some scratchers. But for the most part, though, this team is playing hot. They got a hot goalie. And how about Shea Weber scoring the first goal? Like, I don't know. To me, like, that's just that trade. Moving on from Subban, Like, I don't know. Maybe that makes him like, I just never liked
makes
the way
him more
he
likable.
Dived.
Yeah. Yeah. They got rid of a lot of the unlikability on that team. And, you know, PK Subban would be one of those guys. I think Max Pacioretty is one of those guys. Now he's on Vegas. Ugh. He's a loser's loser.
Eric Staal, Corey Perry, like Tyler Toffoli. I just look at these names and they don't remind me of Montreal players. And maybe that's why we liked, you liked them at least.
Just for this one off, it's just this run, you know, once the Bruins puked all over themselves, because that's what they do in the playoffs. I still love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I want to continue to watch. I need to pick a team. After what they did to Toronto, I said, you know what? I'm rooting for Montreal. So, no, it's not a troll job. It's not to spite you people. And the other thing is just like, you know, we can agree to disagree on certain things. And I'm not going to love all things Boston all the time. Like, yo, if you're a Bruins fan, you can't. Like, it says who? If you're from here, you sure you get to love all the things Boston. But yeah, like I'm going to pretend to like the Dropkicks or Boondock Saints, that movie that blows. Like, no, just because you people feel that way doesn't mean I have to feel that way. McCarthy.
I'm the gatekeeper of all that is right and holy and just, and I cannot sit here and allow you to justify rooting for the Montreal Canadiens. How dare you, Jim Murray? How dare you come on these airwaves, the flagship station of the Boston Bruins, and you come on these airwaves and say you're rooting for the Canadiens because you like their style and all that and this, that, and the other thing. It is an unspeakable crime. This is a sports talk radio crime that you've been committing. I think we should jail you. I do. You should be jailed for this take.
You people are babies, is what it really is.
I'll be a baby, but you'll be on the inside. Jail him.
Let's go to, our friend Corey, Accordion Corey. Hey, Corey, how you doing?
How are you, Big Jim? Yeah, you're getting killed over there today. But let's go to a topic that, you know, we both have agreed on for a long time, Brady over Belichick. I've been since 2015 and that terrible season that happened. By the way, I will be down in Tampa. I thought I was going to be the only one. I booked my tickets, and I hear you're going as well.
I am, yes. September 9th, Thursday, September 9th, I will be there for the opener of the 2021 season. Bucks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, we're going to have some kind of a little shindig or something there.
Yes,
or I could be in trouble hanging out with you, I hear. That's the problematic. So I was just thinking, what record, forget the Bucks. If they went 0-17, it doesn't hurt Brady's legacy at all, and they're not going to do that. But what record do the Patriots have to get to? Forget the quarterback thing, because eventually that's a separate topic. What record, at the end of the day, do the Patriots have to have for at least the conversation to get a little bit of a movement to sway towards Belichick? What is going to be impressive enough to get people to say, see, Belichick is good? What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, to me, and I thank you, Corey, and thanks for the call, like, you know, he's got to win the Super Bowl to be tied with him. And for Belichick to overtake that conversation of, see, Belichick was more important than Brady, well, he's going to have to win two to his one that he already has, in my opinion.
Ooh. See, I think he only needs one.
But then they're tied, Joe.
Yeah, but then Brady did it on his own. Like, Brady went out and picked the worst team, the worst whatever, and did it on his own. Like, I don't know. I mean, I still think Bill Belichick's a great coach, no matter what. But now there's things Belichick can't do because Brady's not around anymore. He can't be like the old mean guy anymore, and people are holding out and he just like finds them or trades them. Like, he can't do things like that anymore.
You brought that up earlier. That Stephon Gilmore thing and how he handled that is just so strange.
He's never done that with anybody, right? Ever. But you know what? The team needs him and the team knows they need him. I mean, Dante Hightower hasn't even restructured his contract. Like, they're just going to give him the money because the team knows it.
Yeah.
He can't do the things he used to do because Tom Brady's not there anymore. But if he wins without Tom Brady, it's a huge win for Bill Belichick, even if they are tied.
Let's go to Daniel in the van with a Celtics thought. Daniel, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say about the Celtics that it feels like everybody is, like, wanting them to, like, reach for another big name when I think there's plenty of point guards out there, like DeJounte Murray or even Devontae Graham, C.J. McCollum, that they could get that, you know, it doesn't have to be another superstar. Bradley Beal is not a facilitator. That's why the Wizards were horrible this season, because all he did was score. I feel like there's a bunch of moves they can make. They need to start instilling a lot of confidence into the two J's and the fact that they have two really good players and they need to build around them, and they need to be, like, happy with that instead of constantly searching for more. You guys
Well, Daniel, thanks for the call. Just to reset, I mean, so what's a realistic offseason in your opinion for them, Joe?
Adding veterans, you know, like to give you a couple of names that I think that could work, like Rudy Gay's old, but he's a guy that's been in here before that could, you know, take a minimum deal and be a veteran to kind of help these guys along, maybe play the three or the four at times. But I don't see them making any big moves at all. You know, they'll probably use the trade exception if they can. The Fournier deal, I would try to trade him, like sign him and then bring back somebody who makes that type of money. But when it comes to point guards, like I know a lot of people are getting excited about it, but I'm watching guys in the league right now, like Reggie Jackson, who was on the scrap heap at one point making plays. So I think you can find those type of guys. But at the same time, like Drew Holiday was a big addition to the Milwaukee Bucks this year. So, you know, Chris was talking about guys who can make shots. I think they need a third option who can score, but I want a guy that can facilitate the basketball. I don't know if that's what Tatum and Brown need, though. Like, don't they need the ball in their hands? Isn't that kind of the big thing? Like, I think Ben Simmons really would be a good option for the Celtics.
Not the money, but he's the type of player that they need with Brown.
Exactly.
Tatum. Distribute, defend, terrified to shoot.
Yeah. Because Marcus Smart's going to shoot.
Of course he is.
That's the problem.
All right, we'll get to nothing but your phone calls coming up here on Agenda-Free Friday. Everything on the table, so we'll do that. And as we segue into the final word to wrap things up, 30 minutes to go here on Agenda-Free Friday on Felger and Maz. But first, the headlines with McCarthy.
You are a sorry liar.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boo.
But McCarthy's awesome.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felger at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Welcome back to Felger and Maz with Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Matt McCarthy. Time for the email of the day. Protected by Mimecast, safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware by visiting Mimecast.com. That's MIMECAST.com. Mimecast.com. And I know Mike and Tony and I have been talking about this a lot lately. I'm telling you, if you're a business and you want to be protected, like super protected, like the equivalent of wearing three masks after you've been vaccinated protected, get this Mimecast, because nothing's ever going to get through. You will be protected forever. Every time I get something sent to me, like, oh, maybe I'll try to open, oh, I got to do what now? Like it ain't going to happen.
Like a gambling website?
Oh, yeah. Like it's
you can forget about that show.
The Iron Curtain. Anyway, I want to read this one. It was actually for Mike, but I was CC'd on it. And in the header, it reads, Sus le Felger, which I had to look up, and that translates to Suck it, Felger.
Ah, I like that.
Felger, I'm one of the few that are with Big Jim on the Canadians, and now you have to live with the hell of the North for at least another week or longer if they pull this one off. Yes, you will be subjected to all the whining and moaning flowing across the border with the cries of ole, 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 nonstop, and it will satisfy me to no end to hear you rant and rave and lose your mind about the great Canadian fan base. And OMG, winning overtime in their own barn on St. John the Baptiste Day proves that even God is willing the Canadians to a cup. They are an insufferable bunch of these people. So get ready for a healthy dose of poutine, pancakes, Canadian bacon, and maple syrup, the ghosts of the forum, the passion of the stupid 50 sitcom songs they play after every goal are all going to haunt you next week, and we're going to love watching you unravel. In a normal season, I would hate these guys and love to watch them lose, and the 10 cups they won playing pond hockey shouldn't count, but this year is different. Repeat after me, Le Bleu Blanc Rouge. Allez, allez, Montreal. Go, Murray, go. That is from Joe Rapuano. Well, Joe sent that in. But yes, Joe saying, Sus le Felger, suck it, Felger.
I mean, that I can get behind. Mm. And you have to understand here, Jim, I've had to make a decision because there's nothing I love more than Felger experiencing pain. I root against the Brewers. I root against the Bucks. All that. Packers, all that. We all love it when Felger experiences pain. If you're around this station, you love watching Felger suffer. Of course, I think.
And this is what bugs me. He really thinks this is about like me trying to like troll him and bust his balls. It's like 7% of that is why I'm doing this. It's very minimal. No, I'm with Joe. I legitimately like the story. They're a fun team to watch. I like a lot of their players. That's all. It's just a one off. If they were playing the Bruins, who do you think I'd be rooting for?
Oh yeah, but I had to make a decision. Do I want Felger to suffer? Which, of course, I always do. Or do I want to stand up for what is right and what is just in this world? And I have chosen a path of righteousness, Jim Murray.
I know Ben in the car is on my side. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Big Jim, I love you. I agree with you. We're going to pull for him because of the players. I hate the fans, but they got a lot of good players on that team. And if they win, it gives the Bruins motivation to get better. So
yeah, and there's that part, too. And thanks for the call, Ben. There's maybe the silver lining of maybe this lights a fire under the Bruins' ass.
Well, it takes Montreal to be good to light a fire under the Bruins' ass. Is that like really what the Bruins need to light a fire under their ass?
Well, maybe they have to make tougher decisions, like moving on from the goalie.
Well, we talked about this off the air, but maybe sometimes, you know, you always hear about these Bruins who want to stay here. Tyler Hall wants to stay here. Torrey Krug wanted to stay here. Chara wanted to stay here. Maybe the guys do get a little too comfortable at times because there's nobody in the system to come up.
Well, John has a thought on that. Go ahead, John.
Hey, yeah. So I seriously think that Marshy and Bergy need to be added to the, like, wheel of gutless bums at this point. Like, I love the guys, but like, you stuck with your buddy Tuca over trying to go with the kid when like, you needed him most. And the worst part is they knew Tuca was hurt. Like, they knew he was compromised. And they're like, nope, going to stick with my buddy. You know? Like,
oh,
it's crazy.
John, it's, look, wheel of gutless bums, probably too strong, because I do love those two in terms of watching them play. But I think they have too much power. Like, that, you know, those guys, you know, strongly support Tukes, and that's why we're still going with him, and that's why he's still going to be here next year. Like, that's so nauseating to me. That's why there's a hierarchy, guys. That's why you have a boss, and that's why the coach and the GM, what you would think would make the tough decisions. You don't always have to defer to the players. And I know that the counter to that is, well, the Celtics are doing it. It's different in the NBA. It's a players' league. You need the players to be on board if you're going to have any modicum of success. This Bruins team and what you've seen with Tuca so far, like, stop it with that.
Agree.
All right. Well, let's go to Tom and Quincy, who has a Red Sox thought. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I got to tell you, this is a pretty sick crowd assembled for today. This is pretty cool. But I'm always into the Sox-Yankees weekends. I will say today I'm a little bit annoyed because I heard some people calling you guys a little while ago when I was working. And I'm not sure who started this little motto or who needs to make it end, but if I hear Happy Perez Day one more time, I'm going to shoot myself.
Tom.
whoever put that out there, please stop. But last night was a total heartbreaker. I had a sense of impending doom for the past few innings in that game, knowing something was going to go bad. I need them to put that behind them, and they need to get back on the ball. And they cannot lose the series to the Yankees this weekend. I know it's Perez going tonight, but they get the Cole on Sunday. In between that, you got a bunch of whatever Montgomery's pitching and all that. Cole, I want to see them absolutely light up because I need someone to cry during this episode with the spite attack stuff. We were so close last night with Richards. I need it. I need someone to legitimately bawl and say, I simply can't pitch anymore. Please get rid of me because I don't want to be the whipping boy of Boston sports fans anymore. Yeah. Is that a lot to ask for? No,
Tom, well, looking at it, you know, considering they've lost two series, the pitching matchups don't really, I don't think they really favor the Red Sox.
No, they
don't. Perez and Herman tonight. Yep. Tomorrow, Valdi and Montgomery, and then Rodriguez and Gerrit Cole. And Rodriguez has been a bad way for a while.
He's a puddle.
Yeah, so I don't know. You take two of this, like you win this series, that's a massive win, especially with what they've played lately.
Yeah, listen, the Red Sox, you know, have not played good baseball recently. The Yankees do have the advantage in the pitching matchups this weekend. However, don't underestimate how much of a loser I think this Yankees team is. Man, you watch them play. They've got talent.
They can't hit.
They can't hit. They absolutely cannot hit. They can really pitch. They're a good pitching team. They're poorly managed. Their manager is a complete and total buffoon. They're a really flawed team, and they don't play fundamentally sound baseball, which has really hurt the Red Sox over these last two series. The Yankees really are not that good. I don't think the Red Sox are all that good either, but the Yankees, oh no, they're really not that good.
Are you going to any of these? They're a baseball boy?
I might see about trying to get to one of the games. I don't have any tickets right now, but tickets are available, so I might. I'm going to a game against the Phillies in a couple weeks.
Hey,
but,
Matt, if you're going to put a wager on who'd win the AL East, who would be your team?
Gosh, at this point, I'd seriously say the Red Sox. I think without Glasnow, that's a big blow to the Rays. I don't buy in on the Yankees. They're still the most talented team. But just watching them play this year, it should be the Red Sox because they should add at the trading deadline. Maybe you get Chris Sale back. It better be the Red Sox. This division is there for the taking. You watch the Red Sox and the Rays these last three games, you say, this is the best the AL East has to offer? Yes, it is. Sloppy baseball clubs. They really are.
John in Brockton with the Patriots, though. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Real quick, Jim, I just want you to know, because I always listen to your show on Saturday, you and Casper got the best intro.
Oh, well, hey, thanks.
How that is, you guys do. But, Joe.
Hey.
What are the odds on, there's got to be a prop for Brady and Belichick after the game shaking hands, because if Brady loses, I don't think they're shaking hands. And I support Brady all the way.
Well, who's going to run?
He does not like to shake hands after a loss.
So I bet no, they don't. I don't even know if there's a bet. I'll look for it. No, someone's running off the field, right? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't imagine Brady. Brady's going to try to run over to him, I think, if he wins. But if he loses, they're dying.
I don't know, man. I think both of them bail.
Yep.
Like, both of them are like, the game's over.
Yeah,
they're
split.
Both out.
Head coach, quarterback, then they're out.
Do they typically ever have props like that ahead of a big regular season game? They do.
Oh, yeah.
Bet on anything.
Bet online,
Jim.
Has everything you want.
Let's go to Ari in the car with another Patriots thought. Hello, Ari.
Yo, what's going on, Mike? How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
So, regardless of what a person were to think of Cam, okay, and this is just based on what I've been hearing a lot about. Belichick brought him back, and I know he drafted Mac Jones, but don't you think all this talk about week four, week five, like it doesn't make me think a different thing. Don't you think that Belichick, you know, we know how he's changed. Isn't it like at the point that we just start realizing that that Cam is going to be your quarterback?
So what's the point?
I'm saying because people are saying that, you know, you got till week 8 to week 9, then Mac Jones is taking over, and then Cam is done. Oh. But don't you just think Cam is going to be your quarterback this season? And if he's good, he's coming back. And if he sucks, he's gone?
Well, I mean, I thought that the last time around. I think he's going to be the starter. He's definitely going to be the starter going into the season. If the kid keeps showing, like based on all the reports, that he really shined like he did in this little mandatory camp here that they just had, they're going to have no choice but to start him, especially if Cam plays like he did last year. And I really think that's going to end up happening because the owner's been around the practices. They can't hide Mac Jones if he's good. And if Cam plays like last year, they're going to eventually have to go to him. So go ahead.
What should have Belichick done? He came out and said, Cam's our starter. So what should have he done? Should he have been like, hey, well, it's an open, you know, no job secured?
Well, he should have signed someone like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, someone that can actually throw the ball, that is going to ultimately, you know, end up losing the job to the kid if the kid's, you know, the kid's worthy of taking it. And so it's just, you know, Cam was so bad last year. Again, 8 touchdowns, can't really throw. I think he's washed up. If you signed a veteran that could actually throw the ball, again, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or someone like that, like at least the transition, I think, is easier.
Yeah, I just think this defense is going to be really good, where you cannot have a quarterback that's afraid to make decisions and can't make an easy completion.
Carl in Grafton on the Red Sox. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Jim, how's it going? I want to go counter to McCarthy's take there. I think the Red Sox are ripe for the picking. I think the Yankees have won like 3 series in a row. And if they sweep the series, I mean, I don't even want to go there. But I just think that, given who's hot and who's not, I think the Yankees are maybe poised to make a move here to kind of keep pace in the division and break parity in the division. I'll hang up and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, I understand what you're saying. I think, again, they're the most talented team in the division. I know they've played a little better recently, so, you know, winning a couple series in a row. I've just watched a lot of that team this year. You watched that series in the Bronx a few weeks ago. There's a lot of loser on that team. Their manager's a complete clown. They're horrible fundamentally, absolutely horrible. I mean, you think the Red Sox have been bad fundamentally in the last week. They've run into outs on the bases. They're terrible in the field. They don't have it. They don't have that it factor. And while the Red Sox aren't very talented, they do have that kind of competitiveness and that resilience, and I don't know. I mean, call me a fool for saying the resilient team is going to win the division over the better team, but based on what I've seen from the Yankees this year, if the Red Sox go out and add a guy or two at the deadline, they should win this division. It's there for the taking. Glasnow's hurt. The Yankees are underachieving. Chaim Bloom, go out and prove this team at the deadline. It's there for the taking.
Hey, Joe, before we go to break, who do you like tonight in Game 7, Islanders or Tampa?
I'm going Islanders as an underdog tonight. I'm just fading the team that won last year. And I like the Bucks to win tonight against
Atlanta
as well.
All right. Well, there you go.
I have the Bucks winning the whole thing, by the way. If Giannis doesn't win, him signing that deal in Milwaukee, fail.
All right. So there you go. Some intel from one of the Bankroll boys, Joe Murray. We'll wrap up with a final word next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
We do have fresh material in the final word this week from earlier in the week on Monday. This is when you were out, Jim, with Maz at the golf tournament. So that meant Adam Jones was in. I was in as well. Adam Jones, as we know, far too talented and funny for this program. And Jones made a joke, well, that just went just about everybody over everybody's head.
If you want these guys, they've got to run the show. Which is why I propose changing the name of the Milwaukee Bucks to the Milwaukee Antetokounmpos. But forget the Bangle's a stupid mascot anyway.
Is that his name?
Bangle. Bangle the Buck. His name should be Antetokounmpo.
Hear me out.
Bango due to you.
Hear me out. The Milwaukee Bango Bros. How about that?
We've got one more item to get to here on a reentry Monday. And that is, well, at least there's one team that has a set of balls and isn't afraid to bench a goalie. And we'll get to that right after Matt McCarthy today. Matt, what do you got?
The Milwaukee Bango Bros. How about that? Hear me out on that.
Swing and a miss, Jones. Swing and a miss.
Nothing from Mike on that? He didn't even know?
Yeah, I mean, well, from Mike? No, of course. I'm ashamed that I didn't pick up on it. That's on me.
Take as many shots as Ben Simmons in the fourth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We also had one other moment from Monday's program. Mike using big-time words.
If Marc-Andre Fleury was here, they wouldn't have benched him.
Marc-Andre Fleury is a Vezina finalist for this year, isn't he?
I'm not even sure.
I think he is.
He's had that kind of year, whether he is or not. And they had no compunction. No hesitation. You give away a goal like that? All right. Time for the change. Are you mocking my compunction?
No, it was just I'm looking it up.
Yeah, look it up.
Compunction Junction, what's your function?
Looking up words that Felger says to make sure the you's right.
Feeling of guilt or moral scruple that prevents or follows the doing of something bad.
Perfect usage. I mean, 90% of the coaches would yank Fleury. They win with Robert Lehner.
Isn't it Robin Lehner?
Screwing up names of players and coaches and getting them all wrong.
Lehner, how do I pronounce it?
Robert Lehner.
Lehner, right, that guy, Robert Lehner. And it's Gallant, right? He says, nope. So Gallant is opening himself up to some big second guessing.
Gallant's not there anymore.
Junction, what's your function?
Gerard Gallant was fired by Vegas a year and a half ago.
I said Gallant, so DeBear.
Yeah.
Or however you pronounce it.
I'd have gone with the same guy. I think he's a fast learner.
That was some of your finest work with name butchering, right? That was just the wrong coaches.
No, it literally gets worse by the day. That's compunction.
Very good.
Well done.
Thanks to Hardy for that.
The genius of Hardy. You know, now that we found out that Joe Murray was up on Beacon Hill, we can do the Joe Murray Bill's a Bill sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's true.
Oh,
Schoolhouse Rock.
I'm just a Bill. Yeah, remember. I was always a fan of the parody that they did in The Simpsons.
Yes, fantastic stuff.
All right, well, that's going to do it for me. Joe, are you sticking around for the baseball hour? Or are you running out of here?
I'm out of here too, man.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm out.
We'll see you in hell, McCarthy.
Yeah, I'll see you there, my man.
Thanks to Jimmy Stewart
driving the bus there.
James Scaramuzzino behind the glass today. That will do it for myself and Joe. You're on tomorrow morning, Joe.
Tomorrow morning, 7 to 11.
All right, and then that'll be followed by yours truly with Chris Gasper. What's coming up in the baseball hour, McCarthy?
We got a lot to dive into tonight. Hell of a game last night. Can't believe the Red Sox lost that one. We'll get into a tough loss for the Sox. They're out of the lead in the American League East. Dustin Pedroia being honored over at Fenway Park tonight. Is he a Hall of Famer? Should he retire the number? We'll take a look at his career, a look back at his career. But we start with Nick Pivetta. Would you pull a pitcher throwing a no-hitter in baseball at only 100 pitches? That's where we start. Oh, yeah, and Red Sox-Yankees, too. We'll preview this big weekend series. A lot to get to on the baseball hour, so stick with us.
All right, you want to get on with Matt, 617-779-0985. Everyone have a nice weekend, and if we don't talk to you tomorrow, talk to you Monday on Felger and Mass. Goodbye.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.